If you don't like it, I don't care if you leave.
With your host, Steve Cofield.
Who is now a giant fat ass.
Interact with the show by texting ESPN to 69187.
One of them has to go. They can't coexist, so one of them has to go.
It's Cofield and Company.
Monday Night Football. Redskins and the Chiefs going at it. We are hanging out at Pizza Rock, so come on down. The special's in full effect, and we'll be here through the first half of the Monday Night Football game. So we come in wanting to talk about what was an awesome day yesterday in the National Football League, big UNLV win on Saturday, but last night changed everything. So around 10:15, this terrorist massacre goes down, and we're still trying to unravel what's going on. So we'll try to do our best today to give you a balance. We're going to get into the football in a little bit, give you a bit of a respite from what happened last night, what's happening today, and then we'll also try throughout the show for the next 2 hours before we hand it off to Monday Night Football to fill you in on how you can help, updates on what a great job the first responders have done. So we'll try to balance that as best as possible today on Cofield and Company. Adam Hill along in just a little bit. I know he was out and about last night after the attack, so he'll tell us what he saw. So stick with us for the next 2 hours. We got some good stuff on the way. You can react up on Twitter. One of the important things on Twitter, you can tweet at ESPN Las Vegas. You can tweet at my account, at Steve Cofield, at Adam Hill, LVRJ. Any sort of updates you can give us so that we can pass on to the listeners, any way that Las Vegas can help. So if there's help needed, volunteers needed, we'd like to spread that message ASAP. So tweet us at ESPN Las Vegas, at Steve Cofield, at Adam Hill, LVRJ. So I think we're going to go live to a press conference now. The latest update, want to keep you in the loop. The mayor is there. We've got the sheriff there as well. So if you guys can pot this up, we'll listen in, and all of Vegas can hear what's happening with the latest on this attack.
At this point, I want to bring Greg Castle forward from the County Fire Department, and he will give you an update on the Family Resource Center. Prior to that, I think it's important for, and I appreciate for you to put this out, for the people's families that are responding to the Las Vegas area. Some local proprietaries have offered up rooms for the family members at no charge, and that is the Boyd Group, Stations Casinos, the South Point with Mr. Gahn, and also Siegel Suites. So one more time, the Boyd Group, Stations Casinos, the South Point with Mr. Gahn, and the Siegel Suites. So individuals responding to the Las Vegas area in need of accommodations, those individual properties will accommodate you. So Greg.
Thank you, Sheriff. My name is Greg Castle, Fire Chief of the Clark County Fire Department. And as the Sheriff said, there's a couple things I want to mention. The first off is the Family Assistance Center. The Family Assistance Center is set up right now. It's a combination of police department, fire department, the coroner's office, and other local entities working together to provide the services for the families and for the that are coming into town or that are still here trying to handle what has happened with their loved ones. They're providing all kinds of services. As the Sheriff said, many places have stepped up to provide flights, housing, food, transportation, and many other things. So that's a wonderful thing for our community to have come forward and have done. This facility is located in the South Hall of the Convention Center, S2, and it's pretty much taken up the entire South Hall. There's also a donation drop-off area that's been set up to facilitate people wanting to drop off non-perishable goods over there at that site, water and so forth. That entrance to that is off of Sierra Vista, right just west of this Convention Center Area Command Metro Building at Joe W. Brown in Sierra Vista. So I'd like to take an opportunity right now to thank the men and women of the fire departments, the Clark County Fire Department, obviously very near and dear to my heart, Las Vegas Fire and Rescue, Henderson Fire Department, and North Las Vegas Fire Department. As we were all teamed up there last night doing what we've trained for so many years, we wished would never happen, but we definitely had a plan in place and we were able to execute that plan as well as we possibly could. We had 108 firefighters on scene. We have 155 unit hours just for the Clark County Fire Department alone spent last night handling that scene, teaming up with our partners from the law enforcement to reach as many people as fast as we could and to try to do as much as we could for the community. I also want to take a moment to recognize Community Ambulance. They were there as a standby medical at that scene last night. They had five or six ambulances there. They immediately threw critically wounded patients into their ambulances and transported from that scene. And also American Medical Response, AMR, and Medic West Ambulance. They brought all hands on deck. They brought in all of their employees. They rallied everything they could from pickup trucks to vans to all their available ambulances to bring extra medical supplies down to a staging area for us and to make those resources available to our community during that time of need. So I want to give a big shout out to those private ambulance companies that have done a wonderful thing for us last night as responders. And from the fire department side, I'll take a few questions.
Were you able to say how many ambulances?
I could not quantify that, but I have worked here for 30 years and I have never seen that many ambulances that I saw last night.
Tens, dozens, hundreds?
Dozens, dozens and dozens.
You said 108 firefighters. Is that 108 Clark County firefighters?
That's 108 firefighters combined from those resources I mentioned, those four fire departments.
What types of injuries were there to the people transported to the hospital? Was it mostly gunshot wounds?
There's a wide range of injuries, you know, from gunshots to shrapnel wounds to trample injuries to people jumping fences trying to egress and getting hurt one way or another. So it was a wide range of those types of incidents, injuries.
Chief, will you explain comment or tell us what the staging process is? There are some who said it took a long time for people to finally get into the venue, or rescuers to finally get into the venue.
Well, we had multiple branches and divisions set up last night to cover that large area, and I can't speak to how long it took them to get into that venue, but we had some issues right out of the chute, or right out of the start, because things were going on. We didn't know where the gunfire was. We weren't sure it was safe to commit our people at that time, and that's some of our policies and procedures are to try and make our people as safe as possible. We know they're going to go into a dangerous situation. That's why we do it in a format with called a rescue task force with the police departments. Four of our personnel, three to four police officers going into harm's way, which is something that even 10 years ago in this valley would have never taken place because we had never trained on it. We had never planned on it.
Were any firefighters or paramedics injured?
We had no on-duty injuries of any of our emergency response personnel last night.
Did you have any off-duty injuries?
From my fire department, no.
Greg, can we give John Hubenberg
sure.
a chance to verify
John.
The notification of the families?
Okay. Thanks, John. Hey, John.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Sheriff. Again, my name's John Feudenberg. I'm the coroner of Clark County, and I'd like to first of all just ask that everybody keeps those involved in this incident in their thoughts and prayers, and as well as the first responders, all government agencies, all of us that have come together and working on this incident. Please keep us in your thoughts and prayers, and know that we're working very hard to make sure that we take care of the families who have loved ones involved in this incident. I'd like to take a moment and talk a little bit more about the Family Assistance Center. As Chief Castle mentioned, we have that set up at the convention center. We're fully operational right now, and we've met with multiple families. We're continuing to interview the families, and the goal of that center is to provide families information about the identification of their loved ones, and as importantly, to collect information from them so we can make the identifications as fast as possible. So we're working very hard at making those identifications. Out of respect for the family, I'd rather not go into any details about the decedents or their injuries at this point. I'm available to answer any questions that anybody may have. Yes, sir.
Is the Clark County Coroner's Office equipped to handle these many bodies, or has there been an issue with that?
Well, I would like to say we're about as equipped as anybody in the country. I don't know that anybody can be fully equipped to handle this, but we've gotten support through grant money and our county commission through the years. We've trained and we've exercised, and we're putting that training and exercising in place right now. And I think our staff, along with the police departments and fire departments, are doing a heck of a good job in handling this, all things considered. Yes, sir, Ken, go ahead.
You have to ask, do you have enough space at the coroner's office for 59 bodies?
We do have enough space right now, yes.
Okay.
Sir, go ahead. As of right now, all of the confirmed fatalities have been recovered, and they have been transported to our office, yes.
Of the 59 deceased, does that include the shooter or not?
I believe that includes the shooter, but again, that number could be fluid. So, you know, that number unfortunately may go up, and I don't want to give an exact number and confirmation at this point.
It does not include the shooter.
It does not.
No. Okay. Thank you, Sheriff. You know, I think we're handling it about as good as could be expected. I think everybody in this room, everybody in our county right now is suffering as a result of this tragic incident. So I appreciate you asking, but I think we're handling it very well, and our staff's doing a darn good job at managing it. Thank you.
Mr. Coroner, are you able to assess the type of injuries that led to these deaths? Were they all by gunshot?
You know, again, as Chief Castle mentioned, he spoke a little bit about the injuries. I'd rather not speak to the injuries. The families want answers, and I'd prefer, out of respect for them, to give them the answers before we make those public. So I'm not going to answer that at this time, Ken. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your time, Sheriff.
Commissioner Sisler.
Thank you once again being here and spreading this information to our community. I want to reiterate what I said earlier, and I want to pay a special shout out to the sheriff and Chief Castle and the men and women, our first responders that are there. And as I said previously, when you see one of these men or women in their uniforms, please tell them thank you. They went in when everybody was running out, but for the fact that their selfless actions, we would have hundreds more casualties than we are currently facing. There's no doubt in my mind I was on the crime scene. It's horrific, and these folks did an absolutely incredible job, went above and beyond. I want to assure everyone that, you know, it's in your control right now. Las Vegas is a safe place to be. It's a safe place to visit. We encourage people to continue to come here. We have been deluged with donations, people bringing sandwiches, bringing water, bringing blankets, bringing those sort of things. It's almost to the point we can't handle any more donations at the convention center. The sheriff and I spoke to you earlier regarding the blood donations. After we brought that out early this morning when the sheriff and I talked, and we put out a call for blood, and we have a 6 to 8 hour wait at all of our blood centers right now. Donations are being given. Appointments are being made for Thursday and Friday. That's how far in advance we are. We set up a GoFundMe account because the sheriff and I thought that we could maybe help some of these victims with funeral expenses, with travel expenses. As it relates to the families, you're going to have to be coming in from out of town. We still have over 500 emergency rooms. We started that GoFundMe account. It now has almost 15,000 contributions in excess of $1.2 million. Has been donated by generous people around the country that, you know, care about what we're doing. The hate that this one individual, this lone wolf, rained down on our community and on the MGM Village Park was met with an outpouring of love by our entire community. And we will get through this together. We will get through this as one community. So we thank you very much for being here, and our thoughts and prayers are with all of the families.
Well, thank you very much. I'm Dina Titus. I represent Nevada's 1st District, which includes the fabulous Las Vegas Strip and the scene of this horrendous act. So many times I have welcomed people to Las Vegas conventions or special events, never imagined that I would be standing here trying to offer solace and service to those who would be harmed or killed by such an act. My office is serving as a clearinghouse. We don't want to get in the way of this wonderful law enforcement and first responders who have done such a good job, but we want to be there in any way we can. We've gotten many, many phone calls into the office from people around the country looking to find out where their folks are, were they hurt or in the hospital, were they killed. We're trying to pass that information on to the appropriate place. A couple of immigration calls that we're trying to help with as well. I would point out, in addition to the services that have already been mentioned, Thomas and Mack opened up as a temporary refuge for people who were put out of their hotel rooms. The Clark County School District has offered its counselors to the public if they are needed. We were contacted by Airbnb. They are also offering facilities to anybody who needs to come into town to see about family members. The community is stepping up. We heard acts of heroism, off-duty police officers helping people shelter, pointing out where they thought the shots were coming from. A friend of one of my staff members was being trampled. They were running out. Somebody grabbed them, pulled them into a van just to be safe, a total stranger. We were standing on the corner outside of UMC, and a car slowed down and said, "Where can we go to give blood?" That's the kind of community that we have here. Las Vegas is resilient, and with everybody pulling together, we will get through this. So thank you very much to law enforcement, first responders, our fire department, those medical personnel who were taking care of people in the parking lots of hospitals. Everybody stepped up, and we can't say thank you enough.
Rebecca Pietrog, that was Dina Titus. Before that, Steve Sisolak, one of our Clark County commissioners, and the fire department speaking. We'll take a quick break. We'll reset. We got the sports news of the day coming up, but also a recap of what's happened today, and obviously look back on a horrific night last night here in Las Vegas.
If you make less than $95,500 a year and have a 640 credit score, you may qualify to receive up to $20,000 toward your down payment with a grant from Nevada Home. Call Dustin DeHart of Nova Home Loans today at 702-577-2600.
Hey everyone, Ed Graney from the Press Box here. Listen, join me this NFL season for Thursday Night Football in the Red Rock Race and Sportsbook. 2-year lease on a new car, 55-inch flat screen TV at season's end, and have all kinds of food and drink specials during each game. I'll see you there.
Stay strong, Vegas, from ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Chef Vic Vegas, and you've seen me on Bar Rescue, Food Network, and other channels like NBC. I opened my shop 7 Sinful Subs when I couldn't find the sandwiches that I loved. I figured, you know, you can't find them, you might as well create your own. Check out our most popular tailgate platter, the Rebel Huddle. This platter includes 12 mini of any sandwiches you want. Chicken fingers, potato chips, and sodas. We are located directly across from UNLV. Call 702-998-2555 for your tailgating needs, or visit 7sinfulsubs.com.
I'm Justin Watkins for Battleborne Injury Lawyers. I grew up here, and that's why I gladly stepped up to respond to accidents when the police would not. I have good news. Metro is now responding to all accidents, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't still call us. Listen, police reports do not include all the information you may need. Were you in a construction zone, in a taxi or rideshare? Was the other driver working? This information may be important, and that's why after an accident, I want you to call the police. Then call me at 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food, voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised, on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
Join us for the most rockin' motorcycle rally, Las Vegas Bike Fest, October 5th through the 8th. A weekend filled with music, contests, bike shows, vendors, food, beer, and more, including Tough Enough Amateur MMA Fight and Uncle Cracker performing live. Register for a chance to win one of three hot new motorcycles and $5,000 in shopping sprees. Come check out the only biker party, Vegas style, baby. Go to LasVegasBikeFest.com, use promo code ESPN17, and receive $10 off your registration.
SAS, the most successful sports gambling system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units, 3 units being a max bet. A $1,000 per unit player has shown profits of $273,000 in 2015, $361,000 in 2016, $28,000 this month alone. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get get the winner of Washington, Kansas City tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Guaranteed profits of 7 units tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Washington, Kansas City. Free.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Mobile Sports account and you can earn up to a $50 bonus. The William Hill Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on college and pro football, plus baseball, basketball, and soccer. You can fund your mobile sports account at over 350 locations, including PT's, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's Pub, and 7-Elevens throughout Nevada. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
Gambler's Bonus keeps paying more. Just ask Lisa, who won over $4,900 on August 11th when she hit four sixes to fill her Gambler's Bonus four-of-a-kind bingo card. Lisa got paid thousands more, and so can you, by playing with Gambler's Bonus. It's why you play the game.
Start your engines!
Taking a quick look at your traffic, there's an accident on Boulevard and Revere Street. Also an accident with an injury at South Lamb Boulevard and Ridgedale Avenue.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
It also goes without saying, do not go near Mandalay Bay, Luxor, the Tropicana, Excalibur, really anywhere from Russell up the Trop. Stay away. Efforts still being made to investigate, clean things up. So stay away from that area as well. Steve Cofield, Cofield and Company, as we're live here from Pizza Rock on a Monday. We'll get to some of the breaking football news in just a couple minutes. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Also, our sister station, Comp, tweeting out a lot of information. And the sad news keeps coming. Now 59 officially dead and 527 injured in the terrorist attack last night on Las Vegas Village at the country concert. So from here, you heard Steve Sisolak talking about it and also the fire department. We can help, and the Vegas Valley's done a tremendous job of pulling together. I think this is a city and a community that gets a bad rap at times. Well, certainly from outside the market, people are like, hey, you know, does everyone live down on the strip as if there is no community here? There is. And you can see how much people have pulled together. There are 5 and 6 hour waits to donate blood. So you can still donate. They're still going to need it down the road. You can make an appointment to do that. Steve Sisolak mentioned the GoFundMe that he set up that is in excess of $1.2 million now, so donations still welcome. Just saw donations come down from various sports organizations. The Raiders and the NFL donated $50,000 apiece. UFC, as Adam Hill sits in with us, UFC just stepped up and announced they donated, what, $1 million?
Yeah, that $1 million, and they hope that that kind of spurs other major organizations and major companies around the Las Vegas area to do the same. So, yeah, $1 million from the UFC, which is obviously very generous. And they also said UFC 216, which is one of the next, you know, major events here in town, will go on as planned.
Yikes.
This weekend.
It's
going to
be this weekend.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I don't have confirmation on all the properties around Vegas, but anything MGM Mirage, MGM Resorts, any shows have gone dark tonight. Caesars, same thing.
The shows have, and by the way, the strip last night, just so, it's so eerie.
Well, so you drove, you left home at what, like 10:45 at 11 o'clock and camped out on the south end of Las Vegas Boulevard as close as you could get to Mandalay Bay, right?
Yeah, it was technically it's a media staging area where a lot of the media is there. The police officers were doing their briefings there.
That was Sunset and Las Vegas Boulevard?
Yeah, right by Town Square. And there also were people that were evacuated from both the show. A lot of them ended up at the airport because it's kind of, you know, they can get them out that way. People that were evacuated down south to the south end of the concert venue and from Mandalay Bay and other places ended up walking down there to catch shuttles and Ubers and all that sort of thing. So it was just kind of like a hub of activity down there. But then I got to get up a little closer on the strip after about 2 hours, and just dead, nobody there. And then, you know, I got pictures from inside some of the casino properties where just the casino with no customers is a very weird sight. It's very weird.
To be expected. Plus, yeah. A lot of people were holed up for hours and hours and hours while Metro and other investigators were trying to figure out what the heck was going on and if they had quelled the situation.
Yeah, and just things you don't think of. Like, I talked to a guy who was here on a business trip. He was at Mandalay Bay. He was playing blackjack. They moved them out of Mandalay Bay. They evacuated them. And the guy's like, I got a flight at 9 o'clock. Like, I'm tired. So he passed out in a grass patch that he found a little bit south of Mandalay and then decided to start walking. And when I was talking to him, he said, you know, he's like, I just want to get a couple hours sleep. He's like, is there any hotels, like, down in this area? I just check in, sleep for like 3 or 4 hours, and then try to get back to Mandalay and get my stuff in the morning before my flight. And I was like, good luck. I don't know who's booking up or what. I told them, you know, the South Point was down a little bit further if you got an Uber and went south, or how to figure that out. But those kind of things, think about what, you know, this guy isn't necessarily impacted by the event, but it's like thousands of people who can't get to their rooms, can't get home, can't get the flights, all these other things that are just happening all night.
Yeah, it was announced a little while ago that Station Casinos, South Point now, and Siegel Suites will put up families free of charge.
Yeah.
So that's very nice. So great outpouring from the community. And it goes without saying, what happened last night is unimaginable. These poor people, I mean, you've been to that Las Vegas Village site.
Yeah.
I've been there. There's almost no escape routes, and you've got 20,000 people all herded in to see this concert, and then, you know, we've all watched the videos. Like I said, unimaginable. And the terrorist shot himself. They've now looked at his home in Mesquite and Reno. Had more firearms and ammunition there. So, without jumping the gun on any judgments or any more commentary, we'll let the investigation play out for the next couple of days, and then we can talk about it more from there. And hopefully everyone in the audience, I hope everyone's okay. I hope all your friends are okay. With a show of that size, 22,000, at a minimum, I'm sure almost everyone listening right now at least has a friend of a friend, right, who was affected.
Yeah. And I think that the thing about that, and, you know, it's tough to even know, because I've gotten so many. My phone died twice already. Just talking to people around the country and being around, and people are like, "Oh, are your friends okay? Are these people okay?" Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not. I know a lot of friends that were there Friday and Saturday night. I know a lot of people that had tickets last night. I don't know who all went.
Right.
The couple of people that I've spoken to that were there that were, you know, somewhat injured. And by the way, when, you know, you hear injuries, and obviously, you know, the catastrophic injuries of you know, people that are shot and killed. Like, there were so many injuries that you don't even think about when these things happen. One person I was talking to was kind of stampeded and then trampled, and then they had to try to jump over those fences to get out of the area. And then people were getting cut all over, you know, sliced and on their skin.
Yeah,
and
they're not low fences.
No, and they're,
that's like a fortress.
Yeah, and from what I, you know, some witnesses that I talked to that were there. Some people got trucks and started trying to ram the fences down so they could clear the fences so people could get out. But then even when that happens, it's sharp. It's, you know, it's metal. People are getting cut, all those things. And, you know, listen, I understand those are minor things compared, but you don't even think about all the people that are impacted that weren't shot, that were hurt in other ways, and just everything that could go wrong in these situations.
So as I said, we'll react more in the coming days and throughout the rest of the show. About 90 minutes left before Monday Night Football. We'll get you more messages about how you can help, where you can donate. And if you hear of anywhere or anyone who needs help, send it to us on Twitter, and, you know, we'll send it out. We'll announce it on the air, because I'm sure there's lots of help still needed around Las Vegas. We have some breaking news in the world of football. For Raiders fans, not good news on Derek Carr. Initially, it was thought, hey, back injury, just spasms, got kneed in the back. It's actually a fracture. And Jack Del Rio said about Derek Carr, typically in these cases, these are 2 to 6 week injuries. It's a transverse process fracture. So So not a good day for the Raiders yesterday. We'll get to some of the good days for the teams that pulled upsets. It was a crazy day in the National Football League. So that's coming up here. Cofield and Company live at Pizza Rock, getting ready for Monday Night Football.
Missed the latest edition of Cofield and Company? Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts.
Sports and traffic every 30 minutes.
I'm Mark Seidel with your ESPN Sports Center update. The University of Louisville Athletic Association's board unanimously voted today to begin the process to terminate Rick Pitino for cause, which will take the school off the hook for the $44 million buyout in his contract if it succeeds. Pitino was placed on unpaid administrative leave last week after he was tied to an alleged scheme to funnel $100,000 to the family of five-star recruit Brian Bowen Jr. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans heard oral arguments from the NFL and NFLPA on a stay in the Ezekiel Elliott suspension case and issued no decision today. The NFL will file a response brief by tomorrow morning. The court said it will rule quickly once that brief is filed. Clark County Commissioner Steve Sisolak announced a GoFundMe page for the victims of the shooting last night, which has already raised over $1 million. You can give to that by going to lvsportsnetwork.com and clicking on the link that is on the home page. I'm Mark Seidel with your ESPN Sports Center update.
You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
So what did you see in the Raiders game? Your old guy, E.J. Manuel, gets to play late. Some poor throws.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's the fact that he just hasn't played that much and he was rusty. They had a chance. Well, you know what? I'll say this about the Raiders. He actually made a couple of good throws. Got to catch the ball. I mean, Amari Cooper at this point, when they were down, what was it, 16-7, and they wound up having to settle for a field goal, Cooper dropped a wide-open pass. I mean, yeah. Just right in his hands. He's just got the yips right now. And then Jared Cook in the end zone, that actually was a beautiful pass. You know, squeezed it in a tight slot. Manuel did, and then he drops it.
Got to catch it.
And Raiders lose 16-10 in a game that they could have won because their defense actually played really well, yeah. And the Broncos offense kind of looked like we expect the Broncos offense to look, which is more than ordinary.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those games where you expect, if your defense is able to hold Denver to 16 points, if you're Oakland, you expect you're probably going to win that game. Now, obviously you go in saying, well, if Derek Carr gets hurt, that's not the case, but he played a lot of it, and the offense just wasn't clicking, and, you know, obviously not having Crabtree hurts, but Cooper has had the drops all year. Happened again yesterday. Going into the season, you looked at it and said, wow, look at the weapons. These receivers are great, and Crabtree has been good, but Cooper has been dropping the ball. And then you go and look at Marshawn Lynch has been, you know, okay at what they want him to do, which is, you know, run the clock down late in the game when they have leads. I mean, that's what he was doing early in the year, but he's not a dynamic playmaker really at this point. They've got Jalen Richard involved a little bit, but it's just not the dynamic offense that we expected. And, you know, all the speculation last week that the offensive line wasn't blocking on purpose. I think they showed yesterday maybe they're just not as good as we thought they might be. Struggled a little bit again yesterday. So things, you know, anything that can go wrong has really been going wrong for the offense the last 2 weeks, and it's showing. You know, they get destroyed last week on the road at Washington, then they go to Denver, and just some of the same problems show up. And Carr being hurt, again, hurts. But E.J. Manuel made a couple throws and they were dropped, and then he made a couple of bad throws, and he made one at the end of the game that was awful. It's not good, and if Carr, you know, this is the kind of injury that could linger. Even when he does come back, you never know. Is it going to be okay later in the year? Is it going to act up again? Is it going to be a problem going forward? I don't know. I'd be very worried if I was a Raider fan.
Well, people are already mentioning that the guy on the game, you know, Romo, had back injuries. I'm guessing more serious, but we know what happened to Romo with his back injury, so yeah. We're not going to spell out doom and gloom for the Raiders. Carr should be back at some point, but yeah, in the short term, it's E.J. Manuel's team, which certainly changes the look of the team and becomes even more important that offensive line becomes more efficient at being road graders.
Yeah,
and that means guys like Jalen Richard have to step up. That was the problem yesterday with Lynch. I mean, you know, you're running into a brick wall. It's also a great defense, so let's not, yeah. You know, before mass panic starts on the Raiders, they also went against an awesome defense. And I guess we'll find out tonight if the Redskins are an above-average defense, because they smacked around the Raiders' offensive line too.
Yeah.
So we'll get a good indication if the Redskins can slow down the juggernaut that is the Chiefs, and especially Kareem Hunt, like actually tackle him without seven guys jumping on him, which seems to be the norm around the NFL, then we'll get a good idea that, you know, the Raiders' struggles are just because they went against defenses that were, you know, back-to-back great defenses.
Yeah, it's going to be a measuring stick. And I also don't, you know, sometimes you say, well, let's see next week if that was for real or if that is a legitimate thing. I mean, one game, you know, if the Redskins look terrible tonight, you can't just say, oh, their defense wasn't for real. Maybe they just had a bad night tonight, and that was the outlier. I mean, it's tough to say until you get later in the season, you can get a little bit more of a body of work to measure those things on. But, there's some red flags. But you know what? There's red flags with almost every team right now.
Oh, of course. You know, it's funny. I thought yesterday was unreal around the NFL. Like, it sets up what is an unpredictable, exciting season. And I swear, I saw someone on Facebook mentioning the teams that are doing well that are unexpected, and he's like, that's why this league sucks. I'm like,
what?
No, that's actually why the NFL is cool year to year, because while there are dominant teams led by dominant quarterbacks, there's always a shuffling of playoff teams because you can rise up. The Rams are a great story. We'll get to the Rams in a little bit. The Bills are a great story.
Yeah.
I think one of the more pathetic stories in the National Football League, and I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they can change their mind on it, but, man, between the team underperforming and now starting to get beat up like they always seem to, that home venue for San Diego is just laughable.
Yep.
Yesterday was bad. And I want to explain one thing, though. When people are freaking out because a team like the Eagles has, it sounded like more fans, certainly more voracious fans, you do understand there are certain markets, and this is not to, you know, toot the horn for the fans in the Northeast. Those fans do travel well, and they do that in lots of places. They do that in Miami an awful lot. I mean, 3,000 miles away is a little bit shocking, but
I also don't think it's traveling.
Oh, I think they're there. That's a good point.
Yeah,
they live everywhere.
Yeah.
So New York folks, New Jersey folks, you know, Massachusetts, New England, Philly. You know, you've got we got a ton of Clevelanders here. We've got freaking Buffalo fans everywhere. So when they're on the West Coast in a venue where the Chargers fans from San Diego aren't coming up, it seems like the numbers are dwindling. They just took over that stadium, and the Eagles joked about it. One of the players was saying when he heard a bunch of booing and he thought Carson Wentz was coming out, and then he looked up, and it was actually the Chargers running onto the field.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins joked, hey, this was cool. We had a ninth home game.
But think about the fact, and listen, the problem is that the Chargers fans didn't buy up the tickets or they sold them. But, I mean, think about it just mathematically. If, you know, how many people are transplants from Eagles or Eagles fans that live anywhere in, you know, say Southern California? I would say California. There's probably hundreds of thousands.
I don't know about that, but tens of thousands.
And if 10,000 go,
50% of them, you know, wind up saying, hey, I'll take a, you know, anything less than a 3-hour drive down to Carson, let's do it.
Yeah, and say there's 10,000 people that are Eagles fans that just want to go see their team on the road, and they go buy tickets, or they somehow find a way to acquire the tickets. That's like, in that stadium, it's over a third.
Yep. I'll say, one, I was totally wrong on their home field advantage. I really did think the Chargers would get good crowds, and it would be really loud and on top of the field, but now it's turned into almost a zero home field advantage if you're doing it by the numbers. And the other thing is, do you think it, what effect does it have on people who want to go and root for the Chargers? Because I live with a Chargers fan, and I'm almost to the point, like, I don't think going down there I'm going to feel welcome. Like, I actually don't want to have trouble at their home stadium with opposing fans. That's how pathetic it is.
Yeah,
like, I would now be worried about going around Philly fans with Charger stuff on, because you might get harassed the entire game. Where else in the NFL does that happen? Now it did happen at times in San Diego, but there were still, you know, 40,000 Chargers fans in that stadium. There weren't like eight facing off against 16 from the other side. It wasn't one-third of the crowd or one-fourth of the crowd or Chargers fans.
The math isn't good on that. That's tough.
And then Melvin Gordon, you know, isn't effective right now because he's dinged up. He had like 10 carries for 22 yards, so Rivers is having to throw more and more, which means the defense can pin its ears back. So Chargers, one of several winless teams, and they all seem Like, they're in pretty pathetic shape right now.
Yeah. It has not been a good start. Now, it's good for myself and perhaps you who want to go to a game later this year, who will probably get tickets for about $20 and sit right in the front row.
I think I got to pick a game against a team that might not have a ton of fans there, the opposing team.
That's true. Go to the Bills game.
It's not going to be the Raiders game.
No, I wouldn't do that.
That, I mean, what are we looking at? Attendance of the max of 27,000 and 23,500 are Raiders fans?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see a Charger fan there. Los Angeles is a Raider town anyway.
They'll be embarrassed to go with the jerseys or feel like they're in jeopardy.
That will be a crazy game. That actually is the game to go to.
We'll get to all the upsets in the Big 5 and 4. On the way back, though, we'll get into the college football weekend, which is also completely wacky. Although, great effort. Great first half by UNLV as the Rebels and Tony Sanchez get back on track with a blowout victory against San Jose State.
From the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield and Adam Hill.
Hi, I'm Chef Vic Vegas, and you've seen me on Bar Rescue, Food Network, and other channels like NBC. I opened my shop 7 Sinful Subs when I couldn't find the sandwiches that I loved. I figured, you know, you can't find them. You might as well create your own. Check out our most popular tailgate platter, the Rebel Huddle. This platter includes 12 mini of any sandwiches you want. Chicken fingers, potato chips, and sodas. We are located directly across from UNLV. Call 702-998-2555 for your tailgating needs, or visit 7sinfulsubs.com.
I'm Justin Watkins for Battleborn Injury Lawyers. I grew up here, and that's why I gladly stepped up to respond to accidents when the police would not. I have good news. Metro is now responding to all accidents, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't still call us. Listen, police reports do not include all the information you may need. Were you in a construction zone, in a taxi or rideshare? Was the other driver working? This information may be important, and that's why after an accident, I want you to call the police. Then call me at 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food, voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised, on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
In every state in the country.
Good morning, Piston Service, Kent speaking.
And in every city and every state.
Rapid Lube, this is Jeremy. How can I help you?
You'll find a local auto shop that's probably been there for years.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. This is Matt, Kent speaking.
And this is Ben.
Phil, can I help you?
And in most of those shops.
Thank you for choosing All Tires, Staten Island's home for tires and service.
You'll find us.
This is Lynn. How may I help you?
Interstate Batteries are sold in over 100,000 locally owned locations across the nation. Find the one near you at interstatebatteries.com.
Take care.
This fall, get in the game and earn cash for betting sports with William Hill on your phone or tablet. During William Hill's Fall Rewards, earn up to $100 cash with the mobile sports app. Between now and December 31st, you'll be eligible for cash back points with every wager made, win or lose on the mobile sports app. You'll also earn bonus cash back for teasers and parlay card wagers made on the app. To enroll in Fall Rewards, visit williamhill.us. That's williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails from people all the time. Here's one. Dear Dan, I keep hearing your ads talking about free virus and malware scans on any brand of desktop or laptop PC. I think you're trying to pull one over on us. We know nothing is free. We're not that naive out there in the real world. Signed, No Free Lunch. Dear No Free Lunch, we mean it. We really will scan your computer for malware and spyware for free. We know that if you have a great experience with us, you'll be so impressed that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. So bring in your computer, no matter what brand of PC it is, to any one of our locations right now for a free virus and malware and spyware scan. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Say goodbye to your malware and spyware. No free lunch. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Here we go. The Monster Energy Cup. Set to drop the game.
The Monster Energy Cup. The High Rollers of Supercross are back in Vegas to take on the largest stadium track ever built.
How is this going to shake out in Vegas?
An all-out competition. An all-star lineup. All in for $1 million.
Who's going to risk everything for that glory here tonight?
The Monster Energy Cup. Tickets start at $20. Additional charges may apply. Visit UNLVtickets.com. Coming to Sam Boyd Stadium October 14th.
Do you want to sell your home and save thousands of dollars? Motion Properties will list your home for a flat fee of $995. That's right, only $995. Motion Properties has bought and sold more than 3,000 homes in Las Vegas over the past 20 years. If you want the company with the most experience and want to save thousands of dollars for a flat listing fee of only $995, then you need to call Motion Properties, 702-SELL-995. That's SELL-995, SELL-995.
Start your engines!
Taking a quick look at your traffic, there's been an accident at South Decatur Boulevard and Spring Mountain Road. Also, an injury accident at Antelope Way and West Charleston Boulevard.
Need your voice to be heard? Text ESPN to 69187 and get your message through to the crew. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
I assume mixed result this weekend for the Las Vegas sportsbooks. I don't know that Saturday was a great day for them because Clemson blowout, Ohio State, well, Clemson covered. Ohio State blowout, Alabama blowout. Now they bounce back on Sunday, not record-setting levels like last week with the dogs, but generally the bigger money players, the sharps, are on the dogs. 9-6 now through Sunday Night Football. 7 straight up dog winners yesterday.
Yeah, and
that'll get you.
It will.
That'll get you money at the book, and generally for the players, many of the squares. That means back to back rough weeks.
One of the issues, maybe that it might not have been as good as you would expect from seeing those results, and you know we'll find out in the next day or two what we hear. But I would say one of the problems is a lot of times when you have a couple of 6 or 7 point favorites, and even up to like 9.5, 10. The book will tell you, a book director, we talked to Jay Cornegay all the time about this at the Westgate, they'll say, we need one of those teams to lose. You need one of those, 6 to 9.5, 10 point favorites to lose to knock out all those teasers that people like to do, 3 and 4 teamers with those size of favorites. If one of them loses, all those teasers are gone. Now, the problem is when they all lose, like basically happened yesterday, you definitely open the door for some really, really well-paying money line parlays.
It's a good point.
And so I'm sure there's going to be some of those out there. If somebody did, Bills Panthers, which would be like a massive payout for even the $10 parlay, you can have a bunch of those hit. So that might mitigate the winnings a little bit. But I'm sure, looking at the results, the books will take it, especially after last week, which was maybe one of the best weekends the books have had in a long time.
Bills Panthers was 21-1 payoff. So there was a better over at CGT. $2,000 on it, 2-team parlay, $42,000.
There you go.
So that'll cut into the book's profit. So I mentioned college football. First off, UNLV, the Rebels, way to go. Early in the game, right?
Yeah.
And that's a San Jose State team that has struggled but has also had a lot of success in recent years against the Rebels, and UNLV came out hot. Man, Lexington Thomas is emerging as, I feel safe in saying, one of the 5 most explosive running backs in the country from a big play standpoint. I'm not saying he's one of the 5 best running backs.
Right.
But that dude rips off more 30-plus yard runs. Like, he gets through a gap in the line, and he reaches the next level. No one is catching him.
Yeah. And that's kind of been his thing. That's what he's done. That's what he's made his name on here during his time at UNLV. Now, I will say, as much as I totally agree with you, and he's doing it consistently, so you have to give him a ton of credit for it. One of the big runs he had, I mean, all of them are a factor, but one of the big runs he had was maybe the biggest hole I've ever seen an offensive line open up.
Didn't 3 of the defenders follow a tight end, and that's why the hole was so gaping? There's confusion, and 3 went into coverage, and that's they went off to the side, and then all of a sudden Thomas looks up, and he's like, all right.
Well-designed play, well-blocked. I mean, everything worked out. Now, it was the only bigger hole I really saw this weekend was the – I don't know if you saw the screen pass that Giovanni Bernard turned into a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even sure there was defenders on the field on that play.
That was kind of the crazy thing in the National Football League, too. There seemed to be a crazy, inordinate amount of 50, 60, even 70-yard bust-out runs. Like, when you see LeGarrette Blount going 50-plus yards – pretty nutty, but you're right. Gio Bernard, no one was near him.
Nobody.
I mean, he's looking around. He's like, there's got to be someone coming.
Yeah, and it's one of the weirdest plays you're ever going to watch because you know, you're watching football all the time, and you see the plays like that develop. And when there's a hole that big, you just expect, oh, I guess the defense was playing back. They're going to come up and make the play like 20 yards down the field. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, who's out there? What's going on? And he screws. But, yeah, it started with the Lexington Thomas run. Several of them, a lot of yards. Armani Rogers played a great game too. But, yeah, Lexington is getting known for those long runs. He's doing it consistently, and that's going to help your offense a lot when you've got guys that can make big plays on the ground and you don't have to rely just on the passing game to make big plays.
You see why, and again, he's not Cam Newton, but from a size standpoint, a skill set standpoint, why people were saying, hey, Armani Rogers can be a Cam Newton type because Now, here's the thing. That's a bad defense he went against.
Yeah. Really bad.
But his judgment on those RPOs, the run-pass option, was just about perfect. Because once he gets going, I think it was Caleb Herring on the broadcast said, boy, he doesn't look that fast because, you know, it's the long steps at 6'5". But he was pointing out, I think defenders are misjudging him that way.
Yeah, and you see that's, again, to not to make the Cam Newton example again, the comparison, but that's something you saw with him earlier in his career, that he is fast, but he's not as fast as defenders make him look. By misjudging exactly how far he's moving with each stride. And just a phenomenal game all around by him. He can do so many things. I will say, like, I don't know if anybody over the last year has been more of a Armani Rogers cheerleader than I have in a lot of cases. But pump the brakes a little bit. Like, let him develop. Let him grow as a quarterback. He still is a freshman, a redshirt freshman, but it's a freshman. And can I tell you that last night I was out at the hockey game. At this point, it seems like it was 7 years ago. It was last night. What a crazy night. But I was at the hockey game. Three different people who don't really follow the team that closely, aren't really around it, but they know that I cover the games, came up to me, unrelated, and asked, is it possible this guy's going to stay around all the time, or is he just going to go and be a first-round pick? And, like, settle down. Relax.
He's now
– Let him develop.
He's sliced up Idaho and San Jose State.
Yeah.
I'm not ripping it. This is a program that hasn't been able to do that consistently in the past. And, you know, until you do that, then you're not going to get to 5, 6, 7 wins where they, at a minimum, want to get to. Yeah, he'll be around.
Like, relax. And then what?
Well, I think, you know why people are conditioned to think that way? Because of the basketball program.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, it's rare for a freshman to come in, and redshirt freshman in this case, and look this good.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, slow down a little bit. One guy was disappointed because he knew the 3-year thing. He's like, oh, he's got to stay for at least 3. And I was like, well, he redshirted, so he only has to stay 2. And he's like, what? Oh, man, he's going to be gone after 2. Okay, relax.
You know how hard it is to get drafted as a quarterback in the National Football League? You know how many good quarterbacks play 3 and 4 years?
Oh, he's guaranteed number one overall pick.
Leave and then don't get drafted. You know, have to fight their way into the league or never get even a cup of coffee in the league.
That's crazy.
Some of the big college football games. Yikes, Tennessee.
You didn't think that was a good performance?
41-0, and we talked about it last week. You know, it's rough when your team's underperforming, your coach is looking like he's underqualified for the gig, and then, you know, we talked about it earlier with the Chargers fans, right? There's a bunch of opposing fans in the stadium, so that can affect your home field. There's also cases where there can be 95% home fans there. You know, they got the checkerboard working all over Neyland Stadium, but and it happened in the UMass game last week, as soon as there's a sign of disappointment, you get the fans bailing, and then the players feel it. I think the coaches feel it. And as you're getting your rear ends kicked 41-0, that stadium was just a house of horrors. You don't even want to be there.
Yeah.
So now the rumors are, and it's early in the season, man. I don't know what they're going to do. They have a bye, so maybe they pull the trigger and just boost someone up. I guess they could do that. Whoever's on the staff, whoever gets boosted up, is not getting the job. Tennessee, like about 15, 18 programs, believes that it should be, and it has been a national championship program in the past. Tennessee believes that it should be at the same level as Alabama and Ohio State and USC and Clemson. I don't know if it should be, but the lack of patience there is amazing. Think about this. Think about what's happened in the SEC. So Kirby Smart has gone to Georgia, and he's done a pretty good job of at least rebuilding the defense, and the offense is coming along.
Yeah.
if this were 20, 25 years ago, where it wasn't short attention span America, overreaction, embrace debate, plant the flag, every week's got to be a freakout moment, is there any way that Mark Richt, and now looking back, you remember the end of Phil Fulmer's tenure, same thing in Nebraska too. Bo Pelini never had a season less than 9 wins. He was like 66-38. He was always between 9 and 10 wins. It wasn't good enough. Tennessee, Fulmer, not good enough. Georgia, they pushed out Mark Richt. And look at how good Miami's going to be. And the point being, in the SEC with Tennessee and Georgia, everyone there is chasing the excellence of Alabama. It's unrealistic to believe you're going to keep up with them every year. Maybe every fourth or fifth year. But it's now led to this environment where, like, every program is like, hey, why aren't we the same level? Why don't we win 11 games? Because you're not as good. You can strive to be as good, but your expectations are unrealistic now.
I was actually trying to look and see, because I have a feeling who – I think there's reasons why he might not be. I think there's somebody who could be a candidate in the future, and I'm sure they've talked about it, but I was just trying to find a story mentioning it somewhere. Like, what do teams do in this situation? They do it all the time in college. Embrace the past, man. Go get somebody in the family. That's the way you have to do it.
Oh, I'll give you the odds. You got to see who's like maybe 1,000 to 1 to get it. Who do you think?
Who's 1,000 to 1?
Yep.
Oh, Peyton Manning.
Yep. Manning's not coaching your program. Cut it out.
Somebody that is related to that. T. Martin.
Yeah. Well, he has been a candidate mentioned.
Yeah, USC offensive coordinator. I mean, he's doing a good job. He's rising up the coaching ranks. He was there for the glory years. I know there's one thing holding it back. He's, you know, it's the South. And he's not a very cerebral player, obviously. He wasn't.
You're playing the stereotypes.
Yes. I think that's a guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's certainly a name that can come up. But it's certainly not going how they hoped. There's no doubt about that. Peyton Manning. That'd be great.
Is there a bigger con man in college football than Ed Orgeron?
Con man? You like the hire.
When did Ed O get on the bad side of Mr. Cofield here as I speak in third person?
Well, I mean, has he always been?
No, it really set me off when the USC job was potentially open, and he got all pissed off that he wasn't the front runner.
Coach O?
Yeah, and you're like, Ed, you stunk as a head coach at Ole Miss. You're not getting the USC job. And I remember saying that over and over again. You're not getting a job like USC. And then LSU just flubs their search. By the way, Les Miles is another example of what I was talking about earlier. Les Miles is a 25-year head coach in the 70s and 80s just because he can't keep up with Alabama every freaking year. So Ed O is in big trouble. They lose on homecoming to Troy. I think Troy got $925,000 to go in there and ruin their homecoming. And in a way, this is funny. In a way, it's sick, especially with what we're going through and, you know, people donating money to a tragedy, a massacre here. There's actually a GoFundMe page that fans have started, titled Save LSU Football. So right now the GoFundMe effort is to pay the buyout for Orgeron.
All right.
It's at $275.
Oh, boy.
Now, when I say a con man, you ready for this? Somehow, Ed O and his agent, this is what they got in their long-term deal in terms of buyouts. Maybe he knew it was coming. Buyout this year, if they fire him after the season, $12
million. Huh.
Who rubber stamped that? How many heads need to roll at LSU for that?
That's not good. But obviously, you know, I mean, I guess at the time when you're making a hiring, you support it. You think it's going to be good. It's going to work out well, and you're excited for somebody, and you'll do those things that you probably shouldn't do. Man, that's rough.
One last college note: are you happy that Michigan had the week off
to get ready for Michigan State?
Sure. Two: are you happy that Jim Harbaugh tried to break one of his legs?
With the awful dive?
Well, it wasn't a dive. I think he tried to do a cannonball from, like, I don't know how high that platform is.
He didn't do the both knees, though, right? It was more like the one.
He did one leg in, one leg holding one leg up with the khakis and the shirt, got the hat back on quickly.
He did not
break a leg.
I thought it was a pretty athletic, impressive move.
Smart?
Yeah.
Yes, it was smart.
I don't want one of the players doing it. I don't want anybody getting hurt out there, but if he has to holler on the sidelines, that's fine.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas throughout the show and throughout the evening. We'll be tweeting out more information about how you can help Las Vegas recover from the terrorist massacre last night at the country concert. It's Steve, it's Adam. We're live at Pizza Rock. We're watching Monday Night Football here through the first half, giving out prizes. They've got awesome specials down here at Pizza Rock, so come on down. $4 on many of the drinks, and the personal one-topping pizza, just $5. It's Pizza Rock on a Monday. We got Big Five on the way, which includes the secretive release of one O.J. Simpson, who is actually still in town.
Our hearts go out to all the victims and families from the horrific events. You have our thoughts and prayers. From ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Join Adam Hill and me, Steve Cofield, for a live look around the NFL each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 in the Westgate Superbook. We'll be joined by the book's boss, Jay Cornegay, and the great viewing party in the theater with season-ending prizes from Bust Out Bail Bonds, Ride Now, Power Sports, and Land Rover Jaguar of Las Vegas.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWW.